The views, information, or opinions expressed during Angel Answers with Amy Toys series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily are the opinions of those of the host, BBS Radio and its affiliates, and its producers. The show, its host, BBS Radio and affiliates, and its producers are not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in this series. The primary purpose of this series is to educate and inform. This series does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. The series is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any portion of this series may not be copied, reproduced, or edited without written consent by the host or its producer. And welcome to Angel Answers. I am your host, Amy Toy. I am a psychic medium radio show host who is here to educate people on various metaphysical, psychological, social issues. And today, I have a great guest. Her name is Reese Harrington. She is an author of an awesome book. She's actually got a couple books out, but today we're going to talk about her first book, Guide Lights, Attune to Your Angels and Spirit Guides. Welcome, Reese. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Amy.
Well, Reese, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the interview. Like, what's your background with the spirit realm and all that wonderful stuff?
Sure. Okay. The beginning 4 decades of my life were overshadowed by the darkness of multiple entity attachments. Mm-hmm. And so I discovered, through guidance, the path of light that lifted me out of that darkness, and that book became Guidelines, the one we're discussing today. And the subsequent books are about the dark forces, manipulation of mankind, and how we can uplift ourselves from that.
So can you tell me a little, before we get into the interview about the light, can you tell me a little bit about your experiences with the dark entities and attachments and the possession attempts, just a little bit, just to give people background from where you've come from to where you are today?
Sure I can. I'm not sure if I can do that very quickly, but I was born with an attachment, and this stems from the process of the belief in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And then there's a subsequent book about the 4 factors that cause people to believe in reincarnation, and what the ramifications of that are to the human soul, and especially those of us on Earth. Anyway, I had a birth attachment, and that was a misguided gentleman that had quite a history and caused me to believe that I had a past life that was his, and it also caused sexual identity confusion because he was a male and I'm a female. Mm-hmm. And I was sexually molested when I was 4, and that caused an unhealed trauma and a block, and that caused the lost soul attachment of a similar trauma from a lost soul that attached to me, and she had a similar sexual abuse, and so that created multiple personality aspects of my identity that also confused me through childhood and adulthood, and those experiences also caused sexual relation issues with me, with men, and mm-hmm. it gets pretty radical. And when I was 21, I was demonically attacked, so that left an aspect of an extraterrestrial inside of me, and that was a further. I'm shaking. My voice is shaking. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And so I didn't rehearse for that question, and so it's a little raw for me to talk about publicly.
Okay. Well, you don't have to explain anything you don't want to. Okay. Just wanted to, kind of give people a little bit background where you've come from, because to me, I've been through a lot as well. Yeah, it's so important, because for myself, too, some of the things you talked about in your first book, Guide Lights, Attuned to Your Angels and Spirit Guides, we have to go into where we come from. Excuse me.
Yeah.
We have to go into it. Yeah, I caught something in my throat. Excuse me.
No problem.
So hopefully Dan won't cut this part out. All right. explain, and let me get into the questions. Explain what you believe the angels' primary roles in our lives, because I believe in the angels too.
I know
you
do.
And they help me.
Yeah. The angels are all about love, and I believe their purpose is to help human beings on the earth to recognize love within themselves and respond to the Creator's flow of love that created all things. And so their job is to whisper messages to us and try and get our intuition enlivened and to work with us on earth to know love and to use love primarily.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we have to go through these dark periods in our lives in order to find these, you know, angels and guides and light.
Exactly. You know? We get desperate.
Yes, we. When you're, you know, it's like when we're on our hands and knees and we pray. And I've been there many times myself, believe me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have this role that I have like you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to tell people. That's one of my objectives, is to get into the role of the light. Because once you're in the light, you're of the light. So anyway, that's just my, you know, this is my personal opinion, you know.
Accurate as far as I can tell. We're in alignment, girl.
Yes, I know. That's why I liked your book and I liked you, because we are in alignment. Because so many people, as we are, I think right now there's a lot of darkness around us in this world.
Oh,
and people are trying to find the light.
It's the active Armageddon, but it's not. It doesn't look like it. It's very deceptive, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. You know, and I'm going to have another guest on, too, that maybe I'll have a roundtable discussion. I don't know. I'm thinking about that. Maybe I'll have you on again about that. She and I talk about that. You know, and as we find this light, what is the most important attributes that you think angels provide to help and teach humans? What is your opinion on that?
It is love, and it's also the offshoot of forgiveness, because love is freeing, and anything that constricts that enslaves us, and we can't become full souls and self-realized and self-fulfilled in our souls unless we become that love, you know. So it is all about love and compassion and forgiveness and trust and, you know, all the wonderful things that we hear about, you know, that the lofty things that we strive for but are so hard for so many of us to realize in our lives.
You know, and how can people, I'm a little offshoot of the questions. Let's go to the opposite of love. How do you know when you're not feeling you're in alignment with yourself? What are some of the emotions? And you have an incident in the book about anger or rage. Would that be part of it, you think?
When we're out of alignment with love?
Yes. Yes, when people feel like...
We don't feel very good.
Yeah,
we don't feel good about ourselves or life. And
and
we're not feeling loving. And when we don't, you know, when we're out of alignment with love, we're striving to make ourselves and our egos bigger and more important, because we want recognition. We want some form of love. If we're not loving, then we're striving for worldly recognition and money and success and all of these things. These things are not in alignment with love. If we're in alignment with love, we succeed because God wants us to. Because people resonate with our authenticity and the passion that we feel about our work. I mean, all of these things are important.
Because sometimes I've noticed that when I'm out of alignment, I don't feel good. I don't feel genuine.
And you know what? I just climb right back on, and I sit down, and I align with God or the angels or my direct guidance, you know, whatever I can do to head myself back into that flow of love, you know, because I'm just not allowed to be outside of that flow anymore. It doesn't work. Nothing works for me.
Yes. And that's how your vibrational healing happens, which we'll get into it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've done a lot of work. Yes. A lot of healing work, a lot of energy work, and a lot of alignment work. How do spirit guides service us differently than the angels, though? I mean, we hear about spirit guides and then we hear about angels. What's the difference?
That's a really excellent question. Spirit guides are more like spiritual professors, you know, and they work us through lessons of things that help grow our souls and our soul's purpose, but they focus on the things that hold us back from fulfilling those things, like pride and selfishness and fear, attachment to material things and addictions and false beliefs.
Yes. Yes, let's talk about that a little bit. The false beliefs, the ego, like we said, we touched on it a little bit previously. But people, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and you and I have a similar background when it comes to having a bit of an addictive personality, I'll say. All right.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about alcohol, and hence why they call it spirits, because spirits can, when we are drinking this stuff, it can open us up to other dimensions, which I thought was an interesting little analogy.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
you can go high or low with alcohol, yeah.
Yeah, well, usually you go low into the gutter.
Well, it's the moderation versus the excess, right?
Right, exactly. It's when we are once again out of alignment with God's purpose or the angel's purpose or these guides and angels, you know, that are here to help us. I've noticed that I can't drink anymore. They kind of pull me away from anything. I haven't drank in years.
It starts really degenerating our effectivity in this work. I've noticed that myself.
And so people say to me, you know, well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? Because it's not in alignment with my purpose.
With my highest good.
Highest best good, right, because also there's issues around that, okay?
Yeah, I used to numb out with alcohol because my inner life was so painful, and I had no clue who I was, and I didn't know how to find out, right?
Right, yes. Yeah, and same with me. It was I had so much anger towards my past that I was trying to numb it.
Well, yeah.
And you know, people don't realize that, too, is like when you have spirit guides and angels, and my point is this, the more you work with them, the more they're going to put you in alignment, so there may be habits in your life that you're going to be cutting out.
Yeah.
And,
it falls away because you don't need it anymore. You don't want it.
No, and it's kind of fun. You can live on life with your spirit guides and angels talking at you. I don't know about you, but they do to me. They're like, you don't want to do that. Okay. So, it's about being in alignment. So what I'm saying is with people, the reason why I'm going into this kind of tangent is when you start working, you know, they get your book, they work with your angels, their angels and guides, they're going to start noticing their life is going to be transformed to a higher plane.
Yes. Well, there's just no question.
Yeah. But it's a little warning. Once you start going on this path, there's no going back.
No, your life is shifted as soon as you start. As soon as we say, I want to connect with my angels, as soon as we make that statement to the universe, your life is changing right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all for the good.
It is. And I mean, how can we tell if we're working with an angel or a spirit guide? How can we tell that difference? I mean, I know this is a difference. You notice the difference.
Yeah.
But how can people notice that difference when they're just starting to work with these entities?
Well, it's actually, it was impossible for me, except that I began as channeling. I was channeling spirit, and so that was the only difference I could tell, because they accompany your consciousness and kind of overshadow you physically at least they do me when I'm channeling. And so the difference between an angel overshadowing you and an ascended master or a spirit guide is night and day. Because there's a strength and a power to a spirit guide. You know, it's more of a closer resonance to a physical human being than an angel. An angel is like a lofty, puffy cloud layering over you with love. You know,
yes.
And you feel so uplifted. It's radically different. But most people don't feel that, and they are not going to start out their spiritual experiences by channeling, because it's, that was just me. Working with them telepathically, I can't tell the difference. I couldn't for years. I can now.
Okay.
Because I visually see lights because my psychic abilities and the intuitive, you know, the clairvoyance and audience and all of that has started to develop more fully.
Right.
But
okay.
Everyone's different. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was different for me too. But when I was 12 years old, I was going to kill myself. And
oh.
I had my, the story, I'm going to tell the story because we were talking about being at our knees. Basically, it's like desperation. When I was a child, I grew up with a very dysfunctional household, two alcoholics, very verbally abusive father, rageaholic father, and I hated my life, and I wasn't understood at school because I was gifted as a child. I was born gifted as a child. So I saw spirit, heard it, everything. So I had a great aunt that lived with us, and she had tranquilizer. So I remember looking at the Valium. I mean, she had a drawer full of drugs. So it was not hard for me to go in there and get it. So I'm planning my demise, okay? And I'm a Catholic, and I'm looking at there's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, with his, you know, there's that picture with the heart. You know, he's got his heart open. He's wearing red, and it's Jesus. And I'm praying, and I didn't want to do this, but I felt so much pain. And I remember feeling that pain, and the reason I'm going into this experience because of experience you had in the book.
Honey, you've got the time. I've got the time.
Me too.
You take it.
Yes, and you know what? I want to educate people because the pain we've gone through, we can maybe help others, you know, with our message and our experiences. So anyway, I'm writing this letter to my parents, and I got this big pill bottle, you know, there. I think it was huge. It must have had like 60 pills in it or something. And I was ready to down them. I was like, but I didn't. I'm crying, and I'm praying to my angels. And I'm on my bed looking up at this picture, and then I heard that I knew it was an angel because it was the most loving presence, and they said to me, don't do this. You have a purpose. You have a greater purpose in life.
Oh.
And that saved me right there.
Yeah,
in that.
For life. For life,
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to come back to this life. I'll tell you. I've had two near-death experiences. They keep throwing me back like a fish in the water. Go
you're
back,
hooked. Yeah.
So.
Wow.
So that's how I knew the difference with my angels. My
wonderful.
Guides were a little differently. Yeah, and it was the most loving experience I ever had. And, you know, that's what I'm telling people. It's like sometimes they think, why should I pray? Well, because your prayers get answered when you're on your hands and knees. And when you are meant to live this life because, you know, the most sacred thing you could do is live your life on purpose. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's how I knew the difference between an angel and a guide. And when I had my second near death in 2000, I worked with my guides, and I could feel they were more of a heavier presence for me.
Yeah,
the angels
exactly.
are just like, you know, I work my, you know, with my, you know, cherubs, and I'm goofy all day, and that's when people think I'm drinking, and I'm not because I'm so, I'm hooked up to my cherubs. So that's a little story I wanted to tell because in the book you talk about that too. You had done a lot of work on yourself. And you had still this anger inside of you. You want to talk about that a little bit, how you acknowledged that?
Oh, you're talking about the rage?
Yes, the rage.
The rage I had felt, yeah. First, I wanted to say something in response to what you said because we've got a broad audience here of people that I work with. I know generally probably are not Catholics, but so there's a concept here of being on your hands and knees. That is that's a metaphorical concept in my opinion.
Yes.
And, yeah,
yes.
You're just reaching out to God or whatever for help, and you
exactly.
don't have to get, you can do that on a mountaintop or on a surfboard.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I just wanted to
I was brought up a Catholic.
Yeah.
I am,
that's
I don't even
a natural
know what I
thing
am.
For you to verbalize.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, and I don't even know what I am now. I don't even know what I am now. I believe,
good for you,
I believe
girl.
In God. Yeah, I'm just a spiritual being having a human experience, as
that's
the saying
all
goes, you know.
It takes, yep.
So you get on your hands and knees in the front yard, as far as I can tell. Your neighbors may think you're a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, put your butt down.
Yes.
The rage that I felt all my life and didn't understand came up in meditation when my higher self felt that I was ready for that experience. And I think I was like 46 or something like that.
Okay.
And at that point in time, I was not aware that I was molested when I was 4. So I was in the dark all of my life. And so the rage came up in meditation, and I shut it down immediately because it frightened the hell out of me. And I didn't know what it was. I knew it was really ugly and dark and way, way, way bigger than I was wanting to address in my present meditation. So my guides insisted that I come back and told me that I was ready to address it or it wouldn't be coming up. And so it was, I prayed so hard before I went back into meditation because it was just so big and ugly inside of me. And that's when my grandfather, well, I don't know if I wanted to pinpoint who it was, but sorry, Gramps, you're out. I saw his face, and I saw myself in the closet hiding from him, and I saw some other things that indicated what had happened. And so my reaction was something that took me days, right, to assimilate. And mm-hmm. weeks, and I knew I had to work on forgiveness of that in order to grow past it and to heal it. And so, because mm-hmm. I know it creates disease in us when we hold on to things like non-forgiveness, you know, and mm-hmm. I didn't want to die. I wanted to be a healthy adult and not sick. And so that was a major focus in my life, which is why the problem was coming up for me to take care of. And so I worked on meditation, and it took me, I think, probably weeks before I was ready to open the door to forgiveness. And the angels did that spontaneously with me in meditation by opening up my heart full of compassion. And I could see what a lousy life he had, and he was miserable, and nobody liked him. And I just felt so sorry for him. And the life that he had led, and how much pain he must have been in to do something so awful to a tiny girl, you know. So that was my healing, and that's what I think is probably the chapter in the book that has impacted the most, at least women readers, and created some powerful healing moments for quite a few women that have given me that feedback, and including mm-hmm. yesterday, you know. So big on forgiveness. We have to free ourselves because that's what it's about. It's not about forgiving and freeing the perpetrator. But it does do that if they can accept it. But it's mostly about freeing ourselves.
Yes, it is. And that's so hard. That's so hard for some people just to forgive. My dad's been dead since 2013, and I told you he was, you know, an alcoholic and a rageaholic, too. He used to come home, and we never knew what kind of condition he would be in. And
that's so damaging to the soul for children to listen to.
It is, and but I've been working on that for a long time. I mean, I love them because, you know, towards the end of his life, he tried to make some kind of amends to me. And I just had a session, though, with a woman that she did some, you know, some healing on me, and I was able to forgive him because I looked at his role of why he reincarnated the way he did, and the dynamics with my mom, and I understood it. In that moment, I forgave him. And it was like, wow. Not that I didn't forgive him before because I had made that decision. But
it's a powerful moment when it really happens, isn't it?
Right, exactly. Exactly. But you mean to make that decision. It's like a conscious decision. And you may not forgive him at that moment like I did. It may take you years like it did me. But when it did, it was like I cried for days. It was like all this pain had left away. It was like washed away. But
you
it was
healed
praying.
Yourself, girl. You healed yourself.
Yes. Yeah, and I was so grateful to this woman because she did a totally different healing modality on me, and my mind was protecting me because the mind, I think, protects us from these, you know, it goes into, like you said, maybe multiple personalities or it blacks out. Like, I had blacked out about things about my second oldest sister, what she did to me when I was a kid, and I'm going through healing, and I'm going through therapy, and I'm going through this, and I had blocked out all this stuff, and finally, when I was, felt safe, all this stuff came out. Like, no wonder I don't like you.
Wow.
I don't like you. I didn't know why I don't like you, but I like you. But the point is, we make a decision to forgive, and then every spirit, the angels, the spirit guides, you know, sometimes people from the other side who are working on the other side for forgiveness come through as well. So it's amazing.
That's wonderful. You know, what happens when we're going through that is when we are initially traumatized, we're so fragmenting. You know, pieces of our souls are fragmenting when we're children, when we're going through that trauma. And we actually have to retrieve that back into us. And
yes, soul retrieval. Mm-hmm.
So you may have some follow-up work to do on that, but
mm-hmm.
you will know that. And
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
yeah, we can talk again if you need to, but
yeah.
Because I've been working on that with my Facebook group this week and last, is all the soul retrieval stuff, because we have all been so damaged in life in different ways. And so, yeah, heavy issues, but forgiveness is the biggest, I'm very happy for you.
Me too. I'm happy that you have this book out, because my experiences, your books, we all work together as a whole, healing ourselves. You know, every time we work on self, we're healing humanity. It's like a chain reaction.
Exactly.
And that's what people don't get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't seem to get that. And so, like I said, I resonated with your book so much. That's why I'm bringing out all this stuff. And
I don't care.
It's like, yeah,
I'm
me
so
too. Because you know why? Because the more we can talk about this, and it frees us, and it helps other people.
Yes, and what's more important than your experience? Especially recent, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's phenomenal. I'm so happy for you.
You know, it's like amazing, like I said. So let me go back into the question. Sorry. We're going on these tangents.
That's
but
okay.
I
think tangents are fine. We can miss some of the points, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just fun because I'm so looking forward to having you on. I'm like, oh, my God, we got so much to talk about.
I do want to cover meditation if we don't cover anything else.
Oh, we will.
Okay.
We'll get into it. We got time, girl.
I'm not watching the clock. I'm glad you are.
I'm kind of conscious of that because that's Barbie and you know what I do.
Yeah.
How can we tell if a spirit guide is a being of the light or a lower vibrating entity of the darker forces? This is a good question. How can we tell?
I think for someone in the beginning concept of working with spirit and getting to know the angels and spirit guides, I think it's difficult or at least challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of tomfoolery and trickery in some of the lower energies in the realms of lost souls.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the spirit realms, there's people that are not educated. They're not really highly evolved spirit guides. You know, so as beginners, mm-hmm. we have to ask only to receive messages and advice from divine guidance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And protection issues are all also important, but the signs of a slightly malevolent spirit guide is they feel suspicious. It doesn't feel really loving.
Mm-hmm.
The advice is not pure light. It's not for our necessary or for our highest good. You know, they weave really fabulous stories, some of these pretenders. It's entertainment. When you're a lost soul, what have you got to do?
Yeah, really.
There's no grounding in the astral field. It's just roaming around looking for something to do, you know. You know,
wow.
So if you can play with little girls that have a Ouija board in front of them, you know, come on. It happens, and that's why I'm really against the Ouija board, or at least without education and supervision
mm-hmm.
and that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, suspicion.
Yeah. I mean, there was one time that when I was growing up and I did tarot, and I went to Catholic school, like I said, so I was doing the tarot cards, and they called me, which I did, you devil worshiper, you, and I'm like, I was told to get these cards, but everybody would call me about their spirit dealings. And I got one call from a friend of mine who was doing a Ouija board, and there was some crazy stuff happening in the house. So I called the spiritualist church because I have no clue because I'm not doing the Ouija stuff, okay? I'm not doing it. I did it a couple times in my mid-20s. I didn't like it, and I stopped it because it felt weird to me.
Exactly,
because like
you're calling in lower energies because you're not protecting yourself or asking for divine
guidance. So,
yes.
Yeah, so I called the spiritualist church up, and it's a really fun story. They're like, are you over 18? I'm like, yeah. They're like, yeah, you sound like you're over 18. I'm like 14 at the time. You know, I'm lying through my teeth. And they're like, I said, look, I'm not calling for me. You sure? You know, they were suspicious. I'm like, no, I'm calling for a friend of mine. She had called me, and her girlfriend played with the Ouija board. Now there's some crazy stuff. She goes, tell them to burn it. So they did. And they had no problems after that. And that taught me not to touch the Ouija board, believe it or not. That experience at 14 did. Because that stuff used to scare me.
Your intuition was good. Intuition was good. And the Catholic training probably had some influence on that.
much to my mother's chagrin. Anyway, not so kidding.
Yeah.
But that's an example. I mean, you can have spirits come in your house. You can have things flying around. I had a friend of mine that called me up when I was opening up again in my mid-20s, and her bed was shaking. I'm like, get the heck out of there.
Well, you know what the shaking of the bed is a sign from an ancestor, you know.
Oh, really?
And it's not always negative, yeah. I've had myself had that experience in my childhood, and I recently had a client that complained about that, and I did a reading for her, and hers was also an ancestor. Yeah, shaking of the bed is, well, it isn't always good necessarily, mm-hmm. but it can be a very good sign of an ancestor letting you know that your wife is going to be kind of shaky and weird spiritually,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and just giving you a heads up, and that's what it was for me, so.
I did not know that. I've never had the shaking of the bed. I told my spirit guides early on, if you do that stuff, you guys are out of here. I'm firing all of you because I don't handle that too well. It's bad enough I see you guys once in a while, you know. You're all fired.
That's fair.
Doing a Donald Trump thing. You're all fired. No,
but that's an accurate point, you know, that we can work with them and tell them what freaks us out and what you know,
right.
what our preferences are in some areas of communication with them. And they will listen.
Right.
They won't always do what you want because they might want to learn something the hard way, but they will listen to you. Good point.
Speaking of that, let's get closer to the next question. When we're learning to communicate with our angels and spirit guides, how does white light protect us? So you mentioned a little bit about boundaries with working with spirits. So let's go into the white light and some things we can do if when we're starting to open up to call in protection.
Oh, yeah. Good segue. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The white light, when we're visualizing it, it actually impacts our aura. You know, if I say, Archangel Michael, please protect me with divine light, and he will do that. But
mm-hmm.
if I visualize it around me also, it intensifies not only his assurance, but it intensifies within me because it affects my aura. I'm visualizing white light or surrounding me. It lifts the vibration of my aura into a higher vibration.
Hmm.
So that we cannot be reached by the darker souls because they can't reach that higher vibration anymore.
Right.
And that higher vibration lifts us up closer to the vicinity of the angels and spirit guides. They don't have to come down so far to
uh-huh.
communicate with us.
Right.
It
exactly.
creates less of a divide. So we're lifting ourselves vibrationally up into the higher realms. And, yeah, the guys in the darkness can't talk to us, can't see us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know.
Yeah, and then that's one of the things I've worked on, too, is raising my vibration. And I know when they're raising me because I get headaches. My crown chakra buzzes. I'm like, okay, we're going up again. Great. This is wonderful. Thank you for doing this to me. They're like, well, you prayed for it. You got it. You know, have to be careful what you ask for, right? And there's
headaches when they're raising you vibrationally?
Just that my crown chakra actually gets a little buzzy. I feel like a little lightheaded.
Oh, okay. So that's not like pain. It's just like
No, it's
weird.
Not pain. But it's just like, well, it can be a pain, especially when you're trying to do a reading and they're like, you know, going up there. No, it's just kind of like, then I'll get a little bit of a head rush. I call it, and then I'll get a little bit of a headache, but it's like
okay.
buzzy. It buzzes. It's really weird.
We are all so different, aren't we?
I know, and it's like, okay.
There's no standards in this stuff. We're all responding differently.
Yes, and I've noticed, I have another friend of mine, like I said, I think I'm going to have her on. She's, you know, opening up different ways, too, because I call it the expansion project when they open up some of my gifts even more so. I'm like, great, thanks a lot. They're like, well, you asked for this. I said, I don't ask for this stuff. I just want to work with you guys. Well, this is part of the work. We got to open you up. You know, see, that's what people have to realize. When you start on this path, make that decision, okay, I want to work with my angels, my spirit guides. I want to expand myself. I want to raise my vibration. There are things that will happen to you. And it's not to be afraid of. It's just that's the process. We all go through different processes.
Most of us need a support group of some kind.
Yes.
You know, and with today's on the internet, I mean, and even the other smartphones, you can have access to, like, Hay House Radio for free. You have all these, you know, resources to draw on that are free that can help support your growth. And, that's what this means. Okay, everybody else is experiencing it, too.
Yes.
You know, and so, yeah, it can be confusing and disorienting unless we find those resources to help support us on our path, yeah.
And I've been getting a lot of those questions when I'm doing readings. Now people are opening up in different ways. The awakening happened in 2012 to me, and now it's even more so. So it's going to be interesting. We got a lot of work to do, honey. Got a lot of work to do, it seems like. Oh, Lord help us.
Well, thank goodness. It would get pretty boring if we were done, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. When they show me my long life, I'm like, great. I'm going to be old and still doing this. And they're like, you're still going to love
it. Well, honey, I don't ever want to retire. I'm 64 now, and I can't imagine. I can see this work I can do as a medium. I can do this work when I'm 70, when I'm 80, when I'm 90, as long as I'm still clicking upstairs, you know. It would be boring not to do the work, not to continue helping the world and
exactly.
The earth.
I know, but sometimes the way they raise me and they open up stuff, I'm like, I feel the earth move, and it's not funny. <laughs> You know?
Well, it sounds like you're in a transitional space.
I'm always transitioning.
You know, it's like my mother, when my mother was alive, she just died a couple of years ago, but when she was alive, we would talk about this for decades. When are these ascension symptoms going to stop? You know, and she finally realized, I guess it's going to be for the rest of my life, so I better stop complaining. Right?
That's what they tell me. They said, when you stop moving forward, when you stop, you know, what you have to learn, you're going to be 6 feet under. And I'm like, great, let's not go there.
There's some truth in that. Yep, that's the deal.
That's the deal, yeah. So I got a long ways to go. How about people, if they wanted to go into their own guidance with people, and how do angels and or spirit guides give us the answers to our major life questions? Maybe especially, like, people could use a pendulum. I start with the tarot cards. What about using a pendulum?
Well, the pendulum is good because I don't teach anybody that without teaching them about protection first and about working with only divine guidance. You know, don't even pick up that pendulum before you say, I ask for guidance from the divine sources or the angels, the divine spirit guides, whatever. Use the word divine or light every time you ask for assistance, and then there will be no confusion. Because when we're first starting out, our vibration rates are not always high. You know, that's what we're striving to work on. That's why we're trying to try and study this stuff so that we can lift ourselves vibrationally and learn the lessons that we need to fulfill our soul's purpose. And so, as long as you're protected when you're using the pendulum, it's a wonderful thing to enhance and to develop your intuition.
Yes.
You know, and the angels and spirit guides always feed our intuition and our psychic abilities in order to answer our questions and move us forward where we need to go next. So when we're asking questions, we use the pendulum and say, okay, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I'm getting in my dreams. Am I interpreting this correctly? Is this what you want me to understand?
Uh-huh.
And that's when we get the yes and no responses from the pendulum. And I used to spend hours with the pendulum when I was first learning. You know, does this mean that? And does that mean, and then I'm getting another inspiration or another question developed in my mind. And they're feeding us these questions to ask. You know, when we're really enthused and we're really on a roll, you know, so that was my entertainment. That gave me the pendulum,
I actually use the pendulum because I do a lot of healing work. I use it to clear people. I have a healer's pendulum, and I trained it.
Oh, I love
it
that. Yeah,
clearing negative entities too. I've used that because I do integrated energy therapy, but sometimes people just like to get cleared because they have all this, I call it the sludge from the world, attaching to their aura, because the sludge, they're empathic and they don't know how to protect themselves. And until you teach them how to protect themselves and, work out there, you kind of help be a support to them with that sludge, that spiritual sludge from other people's garbage that attaches to their aura. So I use that. I don't use it anymore because I do integrate energy therapy. I have my own techniques. I'm a master at that. As I've learned the master techniques, I use it on my clients.
Wonderful.
But it helps. It the pendulum does help with that. So if anybody wants to learn that, hey, we're here for that. There's a lot of techniques we can teach you. I can teach you. Reese can teach you.
There's
it's
also
awesome.
Another thing that I'm learning and teaching recently, or advising people to do recently, and that is when you've got in an area of darkness or lost souls or present or whatever, and you're empathic and you're trying to shut it out or protect yourself from that, is to put on head to toe silver armor, and that doesn't keep us awake at night, and it disables anyone from contacting us. I don't know about you, but I get lost souls coming to me in the middle of the night sometimes and wanting to talk to me. I can see them yakking. And I know they need advice or help, in crossing over, and I'll just tell them, I'll help move you over and counsel you in the morning. And I put on my armor, and they're gone. I can't see them anymore. Another tip.
Yeah, that's another tip, but I also do, with integrated energy therapy, there's it's called cord cutting. And if you want to ever go with that, there's techniques that there's called the steps to transformation. There's 14 steps, and I think it's step 7. You can, download it online from learnIET.com. But that technique, I didn't know some of these techniques. I moved down here, and one of my friends actually, master teacher, I go to her once a month. I go and get myself tuned up, so she does clearing for me as well. And she taught me that, and it's been awesome. So if anybody wants to learn that, how to do cord cutting with the angels, that's another technique.
Wonderful,
it's great because I do it every night before I go to bed, so I don't have that. I'm in a deep sleep lately.
I think you left a website reference for people to find that information, and you ran it off so quickly.
I didn't
catch it. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah, it's learn, learniet.com. Learniet.com, and it's a great resource, and, I'm on there.
Learn it, girl.
Learn,
cool, I
learn
like
it. I have all the CDs, and, it's a great technique. I mean, as you get more into this work, we're still learning. And that's awesome.
Of course.
We're all still learning. Yes, we are. Thank God. And I'm going to skip a little bit over. I'm going to say, how can we learn to trust our intuition versus our logic?
Oh, good one.
Yeah,
intuition is God's advice, and it comes from the angels and spirit guides. Logic is society's structures. It's rules and it's behavioral guidelines, and that is logic, and it's logical to do this, and it's practical to do this, to work and navigate through society. Intuition is our divine go-rounds, our shortcuts, and it keeps us in the flow. Intuition never serves us wrong. You cannot go wrong using your intuition. You can go wrong a lot using logic and practicality. So consider logic, consider practicality, and then, oversee it with your intuition and know which way to move, which way to go.
Okay, which is true, because I feel I have a little saying that one of my friends would love to hear me say on the show, and I will. It's like we have to unlearn our childhood. It takes the rest of our lives to get over our childhood.
In a nutshell, that's it.
In a nutshell. Because
everything you learned, forget about it.
forget about it. It's unlearn what you have learned. I mean, I feel like Yoda from Star Wars. You know, that's what he said, you know, in The Empire Strikes Back, unlearn what you have learned. I'm like, very good, Yoda. I'm going to steal that from you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and because you have all this stuff that you accumulate from family, you know, and from society, and all these ideas are infringed upon you, you know.
You just
people
don't do that, you know. Yeah.
Don't, the generational thing, you know, and I've had to, that's all my life work has been, is unlearning what I have learned from my childhood, which I swear to God, I used to say to one of my friends, I'm like, why did I go through all this crap? She goes, so you can help others with all the crap you've gone through.
That's exactly right. Sorry, yeah. That's the deal.
So, let's talk about meditation. The reason why I'm doing the intuition is because how does meditation help us open to angels and spirit guides, but it also helps us with our intuition and developing it? You want to explain that a little bit?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. Meditation helps us to focus our minds on stillness. And in my opinion, meditation is the way to self-awareness and self-mastery. Because if you're learning to train yourself into stilling the monkey mind, you learn yourself. You go, oh, my God, well, look at this crap that's going through my head. It just rattles and rattles around and around in this cage. You know, but when you're really serious about learning to meditate, it's all about mind control, where you are the master.
Mm-hmm.
I control what I think about and what I choose to have opinions about, what I choose to feel and accept as my response to the world in mm-hmm. each and every circumstance and situation. You know, I am the master of my mind. And meditation helps us to achieve that by filtering out all of the crap. All of the, what am I going to have for dinner? Maybe I should start my diet. Maybe I should, you know, is my blouse dirty? Is it available? Is the auditor coming tomorrow? You know, is the mailman have the hots for me? You know, I mean, all of this stuff is I was the monkey mind. I was an amazing, what do you call that? I was so out of alignment that I was the star pupil of misalignment, and mm-hmm. it was incredibly hard for me to learn meditation, but it saved my life in every way.
Yeah, that one of the things I'm thinking of doing is I've always wanted to do transcendental meditation, and I can shut my mind off. I've trained myself to shut it off, you know, when I'm worrying about when this is going to happen. I got to pay this bill. I got to do this. I gotta. That's my mantra.
Right.
But I've learned to shut it off. But I've really been thinking, I've been drawn to transcendental meditation throughout my life, and one of these days I'll get to it. No,
yeah, I've never looked at that. I never studied it. I just
yeah.
I wasn't able to wrap myself around that.
Yeah, no, I'm you know, and it's great because there's so many kinds of meditations out there. You know,
to each his own, yes, and we all resonate to different things. You know, it was Deepak Chopra that resonated to me, and I write about that in the book because it is just so simple, it's ridiculous, and that's what I needed to learn. Oh my God, there's a logic here. I can follow this. One, two, three. I can do this.
Yeah, I've done his too. I like Deepak and Oprah, and you know they have their meditation, 21-day meditations, and I actually have like the first 9 or 10 on my phone, and I'll use it once in a while if I'm working through some stuff because what it takes 21 days to change a habit. You know, how to expand your consciousness, how to lose weight. I don't know. They got so many different subjects on that, you know, with their meditation.
Oh, those are guided meditations you're talking about.
Yeah, the guided ones. Yeah.
I've never been able to get around that. I've never been able to focus on that.
You see, I can because he has the Sanskrit mantra, you know, that he uses. And my mind seems to focus on that, and I go into, I call it la-la land. I don't know where I go. I don't care where I go for 15, 20 minutes. I'm gone. I checked out.
That works for you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's so many different ways that you can do it, guided meditations. Sometimes I've even told clients to stare at a candle, light a candle.
Oh,
and
for
stare
sure.
At it. And that
for
will
sure.
that will kind of free the mind too. There's so many simple things. People overcomplicate things.
Yeah, like me. When I was young, I'd sit in a church or a meditation hall and look at the candles and create the fluctuations in the height of the candle and create manipulation of the flame itself. Mm-hmm. And so I'd go into entertainment of self through just mind control of that flame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was not meditative for me as
mm-hmm.
such. Right. Because we're all different.
We are so different. Like I said, I like the Sanskrit mantra when I would hear Deepak. And I like actually one of my things at night is when I have, you know, a full day of clients, I take an Epsom salts bath. And sometimes you can use like eucalyptus or lavender and you put some essential
right.
oils in there.
To refine the body, yeah.
Yeah, and you can cleanse the aura. People don't realize that Epsom salts or sea salts cleanses the aura.
So, I'm sure it does, yeah.
And, you know, and I use that. And so what you can do is get a candle and meditate on it. I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day. Start out that way. It's so simple. I'm telling you, it's not rocket science here. It really isn't.
yeah, you gotta start out real slower. You just get frustrated and give up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, why is it so important to be grounded to the earth? Why, when you're on a spiritual path, how do you ground yourself during this? You know, because you know we've talked about this. It's like whoa.
Yeah, I used to get pretty whacked out. I would get out of body because I was so spiritually. Like you say, la la land. I spend so much time in meditation and working with the angels. I was totally imbalanced much of the time. So I had to become proficient at learning grounding. And sometimes that was eating a food like a potato just to weigh my body down with something healthy. And sometimes it was, you know, putting the roots into the ground or visualizing your roots coming from your feet and putting them
mm-hmm.
directly into the center of the earth, you know, just and going outside, hugging a tree, sitting on the ground under a tree, you know, something
mm-hmm.
in nature to focus us back on the ground. Because when we're out of body, or partially out of body, we're not balanced and we lose power. We're not in our full essence and we lose energy that way. And becoming spiritually aware is all about becoming self-empowered
mm-hmm.
and balanced. So
mm-hmm.
grounding is critical.
It is. And people used to say, now this may sound so idiotic to some people when I say this, but hugging a tree, seriously, I know people have done that because they have been way out there.
I'm a tree hugger.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with
I
you.
I talk to trees, girl, and they talk back to me.
Yes. Yeah, they got earth spirits in there. Yeah, I've talked to a few trees. My mom's like, I was talking to one of the hedges, you know, and the hedge kept saying to me, give me some more water. So I tell my mother that. She goes, she just looks at me and like, oh, no, there goes my daughter again, talking to trees and plants and every damn thing else in this earth, you know.
Amy just being Amy.
That is the story of my life.
Me too. My family gives it to me, especially my brother. Risa, just being Risa. It's okay. Yay, okay? That's our lot, girl.
I know,
it's
but
a good
it's
one. It's a good
well, you know,
one.
I would... When I would read books, you know, different books on different techniques, and then I would start opening up to them. It's like I knew how to do it. I just needed the book to activate it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I read During Virtues, Healing with the Fairies. I mean, this was back in the early 2000s.
She's my angel mentor, Doreen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I'm reading this. And all of a sudden, I started to see the tree spirits and the plants. And, you know, my mother's like, what the hell are you doing, Amy? I'm like, well, Mom, sorry, but, you know, this is how it is. She goes, okay. You know, it was just like I would just read something and it would open me up. It was like they were waiting me for me to do that. But,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah,
wonderful.
But it's amazing because there's so much information out there. I mean, this is not something that's a closet thing anymore. This is the real thing.
It's the deal. It's hot.
It's the real thing. Yeah, exactly.
It's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, I watched a meditation film today online, and you know, you got Jim Carrey and a whole bunch of other famous people talking about meditation and how wonderful it is and how empowered they are. Katy Perry was one of them. And it really is becoming mainstream, this stuff.
It is.
So, you know,
it is.
We're no longer pioneering. We're hopefully one day headlining, but I don't know, I want to call myself a headliner. I just want to be one of the ones that is what? Where am I going? Part of this rushing wave, part of the populist movement of spirituality.
Yeah, and I don't think it's like popular. It's just becoming more accepted. Like a lot of things are becoming accepted these days. I think that's part of it.
That is a popularity as it becomes more accepted than the societal norms.
I always say societal norms become suicidal norms because sometimes societal norms can make us suicidal. Seriously, you know. And
true.
You know, I mean, how? Let's get in a little bit. Okay. I think we got to close the show, Reese. I'm sorry. I will have you on again, though. Tell people where we can find you.
Guidelights.org.
Awesome. And I'm Amy Toy, and you can find me at amytoy.com. Real simple, AmyToy. This has been a great show, Reese. We could talk for hours.
God bless you, girl. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
It's been wonderful. Bye.
Bye-bye.